Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. It's always good to have you here. I appreciate you taking the time to listen to a program that does not avoid controversial issues. And today will be a difficult one. I know, and I'll just say this flat out, some of you are going to have tremendous problems with the things I say. Others who agree with me probably have trouble articulating this stuff themselves. But let's go ahead and get into it. Let's take a look at the latest news. Miss Nevada is a transgender. That is, to be blunt, a biological male who considers himself female. Yes, I did say himself. Let's be honest, if the him part of the equation was not intended to be mentioned, then why was this person reported in the news as a transgender? Why did they even go out of their way to make that distinction? Obviously, the contestant himself had made that clear from the beginning. And while I can't read minds in today's PC atmosphere, I am forced to at least wonder how many of the judges felt compelled to vote for this individual simply to avoid accusations of being hateful. But whatever the judges may or may not have managed to avoid, I will not avoid being accused after today's message. I'm still going to speak my mind. In a country that supposedly fought hard for the equality of men and women, I am saddened that a man can win a pageant designed for women. It's even more concerning at sporting events where male bodies win trophies because they have a strength that surpasses female bodies despite how they choose to describe themselves. Now, before we continue, before you decide to call me unloving toward the LGBTQ community, such an assessment is simply not true. As a pastor, I have ministered often to people who struggle with their sexuality. I have offered the love of Jesus Christ, and they have never, ever felt unwelcomed in my church. Never. But the lie being sold today is that as a Christian, I cannot love a person without also affirming their lifestyle. Do you affirm every single thing about the people you love? Ask yourself that question. Well, you'll pardon me if I take my Christian cues from Jesus, not the arrogance of today's smug society. Jesus is our example. He rescued a woman being stoned for adultery. He treated her with kindness. He treated her with tenderness. He treated her with mercy. He treated her with love. He still said to her, "Go and sin no more." Ironically, there are public schools now that won't even use gender pronouns. The contradiction, of course, is that gender pronouns are allowed if a man wants to call himself a woman. This is an interesting phenomenon. Why don't we ever analyze this? After all, it raises a very interesting question. When a man claims to be a woman, or a woman claims to be a man, what exactly do they mean? Obviously, they are pointing towards some kind of inward trait that they interpret as male or female, anatomy notwithstanding. And so, ironically, transgenders themselves are affirming that there is such a thing as male and female in their minds. But they can use the words, and the rest of us can't? Is that how it works? A kindergarten teacher can't use the words mommy or daddy? Okay, let's back up. Let's all stop. Take a deep breath. If somebody truly feels that he is a woman trapped in a man's body, should he be treated with compassion? Yes, of course he should. But we must allow ourselves to express our compassion in our own way. If people are allowed to express their sexuality any way they want, I sure as heck can express my compassion any way I want. As it happens, when people struggle with same-sex attraction or any of the other feelings on the LGBTQ scale, I do feel a lot of sympathy and I do want to help them. But what I mean is that I want to help by pointing them towards psychological help. I know what I just said is unacceptable. It's fine for you to disagree if you don't believe this is a psychological problem. It's fine. I could challenge you to back that up. I could challenge you to take an honest look at a decision from the APA that first moved away from viewing this sort of struggle as a psychological problem way back in the year 1973 when homosexuality was declassified as a disorder from the DSM-3. I have done whole radio shows about this subject, and I see it's time to do some again. However, for today, I won't get into that argument for now. For the moment, let's just say we disagree. Fine. Nothing wrong when people of good conscience choose to disagree. But here's the question. Why are those on the left allowed to disagree with impunity while my beliefs are automatically considered hateful? For many years, there were certain college campuses around the country that invited me out about once a year or every other year. One of the ones that I went to quite frequently was Willamette University in Salem, Oregon. And I did a lot of services. One of them was called Outdoor Open Air Evangelism. It wasn't a preaching thing, but I did stand outside in the Free Speech Plaza and simply for 2 hours or so take questions about Christianity. Why do we have suffering in the world if God is such a loving God? How do I know the Bible is the Word of God? How do I know Christ rose from the dead? And inevitably, the subject of homosexuality would come up. On one particular day, I was asked point blank, does God hate homosexuals? I made it very clear that God does not hate homosexuals or hate anybody. However, the student did pursue this, and eventually it came out that yes, the Bible does call it a sin, and I believe what the Bible says. By the way, my right to say that is protected by the Constitution and the First Amendment. A lot of people don't seem to know that anymore. Frankly, my right to say that is protected by another portion of that First Amendment that talks about free speech, period. Whether or not I'm religious or atheist, just free speech as an American citizen. But as you can probably guess, I was accused that day of being intolerant just by this one student. Most of the crowd by now saw my friendliness, saw my heart. Most of the crowd was responding very positively, even the people that were not Christians. But I did continue sparring with this student, and finally I said to him, apparently I have a different view on this subject than you. Is that okay? Now, I should tell you, this student himself was not even gay. He just felt he was defending the gay people, speaking on their behalf. So I said to him, I have a different view on this subject. Is that okay? He said, no, it's not okay. At which point I said, then which one of us is the intolerant one? You or me? Not once did you hear me say that you were not entitled to your opinion. How did we reach this point, ladies and gentlemen? And yes, I did just say ladies and gentlemen. Oh my God! He said ladies and gentlemen! Yeah. Yeah, I said it. How did we reach a point where women are losing out to men in female competitions? How did we reach far more dangerous situations? What about the man that likes to identify as a woman but still dress like a man using a woman's bathroom? Is there room for recognition of how that makes women feel when they're trying to use the same bathroom? Or how that makes little girls feel depending on the situation? Where is your compassion now? I thought compassion needed to be extended to everyone. But back to my question, how did we get here? You could be the liberal of liberals right now, and I'll bet you anything that 5 years ago, you personally did not accept the idea of a man using a woman's bathroom or locker room. Let's go back even further, 20 years ago. 20 years ago, you personally may have accepted same-sex marriage, but I'll bet you never went around accusing friends or family who disagreed with you. I'll bet you never claimed that anyone who saw marriage as an institution between a man and a woman was a hateful bigot. This happened incrementally, my friends, incrementally. First, we were taught that people are born gay, and therefore, to object to the way a person is born is likened to objecting to the skin color they were born with. It was another kind of racism, and people quickly bought into it because who wants to be called a racist? By the way, many African-American civil rights leaders hate that analogy. And with or without the analogy, as I said, that can be challenged scientifically. Again, not going there today. Today, I am simply saying, look what rights we have slowly given up out of fear of being called intolerant or racist. And notice how accepting the gay at birth argument has morphed into accepting a completely different opposite argument. presto, right before our eyes, now we are suddenly to believe sexuality is fluid. Before, we were called hateful for even suggesting it's a matter of choice. Now, a guy can choose to be female one day and male again the next day. Of course, there are rules which govern this. A gay man can't dare claim to have become straight. A lesbian better not say she is now attracted to men. She could have claimed to be attracted to both under the category bisexual. Sure, that's fine. But if she claims she switched as a result of some kind of healing or therapy, well, judge for yourselves. It happens all the time. Go out and listen. Go out and study. Find out how such people are treated from the tolerant left. And don't try to make this look like an exclusively religious issue. It's gone light years beyond religion. It's now in the arts. Just recently, the Supreme Court refused to overturn a lower court ruling about a woman who did not want to do floral arrangements for a same-sex wedding. This is similar to what happened at Masterpiece Cake Shop in Colorado a number of years ago, which had both artistic and religious implications. Now, the Supreme Court gave a better ruling with the whole cake thing, but a ruling that still kicked the can down the road, showing that this was not going away anytime soon, as the flower decoration incident has since demonstrated. Now, just to be clear, just to avoid historical revision, since the cake shop incident got a lot more press, Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop had no sign on his window saying gay people were unwelcome. Neither was he refusing to sell the couple a cake. He wasn't even refusing to sell them a wedding cake. He was refusing to decorate the cake, not wanting to use his talent to condone an event that would violate his religious convictions. To him, such decorations were part of the baking process. Here are his own words. It's not about turning away these customers. It's about doing a cake for an event, a religious sacred event that conflicts with my conscience. My friends, supposing it had been a different matter of conscience? Supposing somebody wanted to order a cake for a Ku Klux Klan event? Oh, I know what's going on. I know what's going on with some of you right now. Somebody is listening with their emotions and not with their ears. Somebody just heard that I think gay people are evil like the KKK. Of course, I said no such thing, but I guarantee you that's what somebody just heard instead of hearing the point I really made. What I did just now is I changed the illustration because changing illustrations enables us to think about a subject more rationally. Anyway, while I'm on a roll, here, let me offer an even better illustration. We could also have seen the reverse. A gay baker asked to decorate a cake with frosted lettering stating that marriage is a union between a man and a woman. Should that be allowed? I would never do that. I would never file a lawsuit forcing a gay baker to say something about marriage he didn't believe. So who really has the tolerance today? Freedom to follow one's own conscience, whether for religious reasons, unreligious reasons, artistic reasons, or any reason, must remain protected by our First Amendment. Although religion has been the primary defense offered by Phillips and those sympathetic to Phillips, the matter really goes beyond freedom of religion to freedom of speech itself. Even the unreligious should be concerned, in as much as this nurtures strong implications for the entire field of artistic expression. Cake decorators are sought out not merely for writing names and messages on cakes, but the unique artistic ways in which the dessert is decorated. It would have been analogous to the government forcing painters, telling them what to put on the canvas and what not to put on the canvas. It would be like the government forcing novelists or film directors to put obligatory gay characters in their stories and write plots that support the practice of homosexuality. By the way, that is the direction we are headed. Don't kid yourself. All kinds of pressure is being put upon filmmakers to have gay characters in their films or television shows. At the moment, it's not coming from the government. Not yet. Right now, it's the kind of pressure where they may get boycotted or may not qualify for awards. However, if judges can start with the artistry of flowers and the artistry of cakes, who's to say they won't continue with forcing gay characters into films and novels? Someone will try it sooner or later. There will be a lawsuit sooner or later. Mark my words, because up to now, people are not resisting. They are instead rolling over and playing dead. Hallmark caved. Hallmark was put under pressure from militant gay activists, and they finally started making romances about gay characters. Look, I myself am a writer. I love the art. I'm not saying we should never have gay characters in films or television shows. I myself have written two plays that have gay characters. Now, in those cases, the lifestyles brought up discussions and characters with opposing views were treated respectfully, rather unlike the obligatory scenario where whoever has a problem with same-sex attraction is viewed as some kind of backwoods, insensitive dolt buffoon who finally comes around at the end of the movie and learns to be compassionate. But with or without pressure, the entertainment industry now views this as the thing to do, and they do it quite strategically. Again, despite my biblical view on the subject, I don't, as an artist, have problems with a gay character here and there. I certainly have problems with this new trend to make no television program without it. I understand that gay people feel slighted when they don't appear on TV, but people who think the lifestyle is wrong are also feeling slighted. The minute you talk about one person's rights, there are the rights and feelings of others to consider at the same time. So why not just leave it up to each individual film producer, free of pressure from anyone? Nah, not gonna happen. No, sir. You can barely find a new television series anymore without gay or transgender characters. For a while, it was done gradually. Not during season one, but season two, or perhaps season three. Why? Because producers aren't stupid. They knew that whatever politically correct drivel people mouth around the water cooler at work in the privacy of their own homes, they were not interested in watching two men make out or two women make out. So characters that they grew to love and admire on TV came out of the closet later, once the audience was hooked, once the audience had an emotional vested interest. Supergirl's sister didn't come out of the closet until season two. In the series Man in the High Castle, an excellent, intriguing story, by the way, characters didn't come out of the closet until season three. Walt Disney, once dubbed the most trusted name in family entertainment, introduced their first transgender character in a recent animated movie. Just minutes, really brief, but it was there because they're getting us used to it. People say, oh, it was just a few minutes. What's the big deal? But now, Disney has offered their first lesbian kiss in a new series about a high school basketball team. Meanwhile, another program on CBS, a show that my wife and I both watched and loved for a while, this show called God Friended Me, had all kinds of great character conflict between an ordained pastor and his atheist son. What a great story! The pastor also had a gay daughter. Her sexual preference was kept in the background, mostly for about a year. Finally, we had the expected, predictable episode where the pastor proclaimed his love for his gay daughter, which he should have, of course. But this in the story was after being asked at a press conference if his daughter was welcome in his church. This pastor had a little bit of notoriety, so he's at a press conference, and it comes up. Here's what he said at the press conference in this TV show in reference to his daughter's sexuality. I looked at her. I saw courage, and I saw love, and I saw God. What a beautiful, compassionate statement, right? At least that's how we're expected to feel. That is supposed to be our robot response. Well, I'm a pastor too. My children are adults now. They have children of their own. They are not gay. They did, however, hear me say very early in their lives, back when they were in middle school, that I would love them and accept them no matter what choices they made in life. Inasmuch as I myself was disowned by my Jewish dad for becoming a Christian, it had been very important to me to let my own children know that if they turned away from Christianity, I would be saddened, but I would always be their dad. That scene from God Friended Me would have been every bit as loving, every bit as compassionate, and genuinely tolerant had the pastor responded this way. As a pastor and follower of Jesus Christ, I cannot deny the teachings of God as expressed in the Bible. We are all sinners, myself included. We all need the forgiveness of Jesus, myself included. We do not all commit the same sin, but we all sin. Yes, homosexuality is listed clearly as a sin. I cannot pretend this is untrue simply because of my daughter's lifestyle. I need to be faithful to the God that I serve. I need to be faithful to His word. I cannot compromise. However, I will always love my daughter. I will always be her father. She will always be welcome in my home, and she will always be welcome in my church. Okay. As I said, that was not his response on the show. That was a hypothetical suggested response from me. But be honest, is that second response any less loving? It is not, but it would have been portrayed as hateful, homophobic, racist, fascist, you name it. And that's why the CBS network didn't dare do it that way. The response that the pastor did give in the episode, I more or less predicted word for word. Ask my wife, and how sad, how very tragic that the arts have become that predictable. Unfortunately, my friends, it's going far beyond predictability. If they can force public schools to let anyone into their restrooms, if they can force female track meets to allow male contestants, if they can tell a baker or florist how to decorate, they can do anything. Anything. And they will do anything if we let them get away with doing anything, if we refuse to take a stand, if we fail to put a stop to it. And taking a stand begins with a refusal to let some other side write our narrative. I will write my own narrative. Thank you. I do not agree with the LGBTQ agenda. I still have compassion for the LGBTQ community. That is my narrative. If you try to tell me otherwise, if you try to tell me I can't possibly be loving without being affirming, you simply do not know what you are talking about. And that means I have even more sympathy for you, because it means you have lost the ability to think. You have been brainwashed. And in the spirit of challenging thought, this is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.